You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Nathan Zagura, the notorious VIC Vic Carucci here, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, and you could help make a child's holiday by donating a new unwrapped toy at First Energy Stadium during the Cleveland Browns Toys for Tots Toy Drive on December the 15th. Marines and Cleveland Browns alums will collect toys and cash donations at the stadium gates during the Browns game against the Bears, donate a toy, and touch a life during the Browns Toys for Tots Toy Drive. And I know people are upset, and I know people are angry, and I know that there's a lot of the anger directed in various places. But I will say this, and you know, you feel free to disagree with me, because I know some people on Twitter like to say, oh, it's the same old Browns. These are not the same old Browns. This is a significantly better football team than you have had the last couple of years. And I know the record doesn't show that, but when you watch this team, this is a more competitive team in every game they play. Yes, they need to find a way to win games at the end, but when they do that, I think wins are going to begin to come in bunches. This is an excellent team that went out and played one of the best teams in the NFL, period. And did not win, yet you felt like you came away feeling like that the Browns bested them in Foxborough.
The Browns played their best game of the season, I thought, Agreed. Sunday. And I have difficulty saying that in a loss, but I believe it's accurate. There were circumstances, and it would have taken extraordinary circumstances to lose a game like the one they played, and those extraordinary circumstances unfolded. They weren't all the Browns' fault, but I'm faulting the Browns where they need to be faulted. You don't lose a game like that totally because someone took it away from you. And in large part, look, if Rob Chudzinski criticizes officiating, he gets fined for that, but he's going to be asked those questions, and he's going to give the answers that he gave almost any coach would, even as upset as they might be. He also knows, in terms of a message to his team, he cannot say the only reason we lost that game was because of those guys in the zebra stripes, because he's got to remind his players the things that they need to do to close out a victory weren't done in that game. And that happens on the defensive side of the ball, and you can back it up to the first half offensively, where you're settling for a field goal where you should get a touchdown. You know, those are the kinds of things that you've got to look at, and those are some of the things that they fell short of. But given the Browns' standard of performance, and let's face it, it's not been a super high one for most of the season, we're still looking at a team that achieved a high level to the only level that would allow it to compete against a team like the Patriots, and they did better than compete. They outplayed them. They put themselves in a position where, again, could have, should have won that ball game. But I'm extremely proud of that effort. And I think coming through today, there's a lot of anger. Here's what I saw after that game. It's a quiet locker room. There were some tears shed, definitely. The normal reactions that a lot of people had. Mostly anger. Phil Taylor, I thought, when I saw him just kind of stomping off the field toward the tunnel to go out, if you wanted the definition, the dictionary definition of rage should have been a picture of Phil Taylor, just this fuming, and he wasn't saying anything, just the look in his face, the look on the faces of a lot of these guys spoke to that anger, spoke to that pain of frustration. But I thought today was more of a, use the word reconciliation, I guess, an understanding that, you know, we gave the effort. We did exactly as we should have done, and except won the game.
For the most part, out-executed the New England Patriots, who are in many ways the excellence of execution.
Right. The head coach, by the way, of the Cleveland Browns, who you got to give the guy an ability here to get some nourishment, get something to eat, and that's what he had to do before coming up here. So we appreciate the fact that he has taken the time to do that. Coach Chudzinski, we're going to let him get settled into his chair, let him get his headset on, and we will bring him on to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, in his normal Monday segment here, the head coach of the Browns. He just completed his news conference with the media, and now he is joining us. And, Coach, first of all, thank you for coming up here, and we appreciate that. Secondly, just can you describe from your standpoint, I know you're all about even keel. I know you're about you can't treat one outcome or one loss more heavier than others, but this was pretty extraordinary, Coach. It was something a lot of us hadn't seen for many years, and you've been in this business a long time too. How do you cope with it?
Well, you know, we're not happy about the outcome of the game, and losing the game, and we're always wanting to win, and that's our goal, and we expect to win when we step on the field. There were a lot of positives from that game. I think that there's some things that we can take and build on. The guys understand, and that we can go toe-to-toe with anybody. New England's a great team. I give them an awful lot of credit, and they have a great coach, great quarterback. And, you know, you saw what they have done and done a lot over the course of their time and their years. But anything can happen in the game. It did yesterday. And we had our opportunities, and that's what we have to latch on to is making the plays and taking advantage of the opportunities when we have them to win that type of game.
And winning is the ultimate, but this was certainly a game that I think Cleveland Browns players and fans and coaches certainly should be very proud of what happened on the field there. And you talk about it coming down to taking care of the final details to win. Do you feel that this team now has evolved to the point where that's what it is? It's a couple plays here or there, and that's the difference between being a team that's winning game after game and a team that keeps falling just a little short.
Well, I mentioned earlier, experience is a great teacher. And I've seen and been around teams that go through these type of games, experiences, and understand and learn better what they need to do. And the thing that I see that's so encouraging for me is the signs and the positive signs that are there. The way we've been able to play against really good teams this season at different points, the development of a lot of the younger players and guys on the roster that are playing and growing up in a hurry. And playing some of their best football, and then also the mindset of the team. And, you know, I've talked a lot about an attacking mentality, about being relentless, about being tough and mentally tough. And you're seeing those things on the football field. And those things, in the end, are going to translate to wins. And I'm completely confident that that's going to happen. But those signs are what encourages me and excites me about our future.
All right, let's take you through those excruciating minutes, 2 minutes and 39 seconds when you take a 12-point lead. So let's start with the fact that, again, the Patriots are able to get that first touchdown. Just your from your vantage point, now that you've had a chance to review some things, what were some of the issues that went awry to allow them to get down there and get that score?
Well, we gave up a couple big plays that were key early in that possession that got them down closer to where they could throw some shorter things. And they were able to get out of bounds a couple times where we would have liked to kept them in bounds if we could and get the score out of it. So they just didn't have to use as much time as what you would have liked them to if they were going to score. And, and then obviously getting the ball back with the onside kick gave them the opportunity to get the final score. The tough thing is defensively I thought we played so great all day long for three plus quarters, and then obviously that the last two drives were key and disappointing, but you know it's something that we'll get better at.
And it seemed on the onside kick that there was kind of a gap in the middle there from your coverage standpoint. At least that's what was visible, sort of pre-kick, and then the kick. Obviously, we know the result on that, but walk us through what happened on that and why you weren't able to recover it.
Well, the initial alignment and formation that they had shown at the time, the guys were very wide, which stretches you out. You want to make sure that you play to where they are at that particular time. And they had four guys on one side and six on the other, and they were all very wide. As the kicker approached the we were fine as far as our alignment goes in assignment. As the kicker approached the ball, they wrapped a number of players from both sides back into the middle. We slid and adjusted, and you're moving and you're on the run as you're doing that, and it was a middle bunt kick. And that was one of the kicks that he had shown doing, as well as the normal, typical onside kick out to the sides. But you have to adjust on the run as you're going. Our guys did a decent job of that, and we're in pretty good shape. And it's a scrum for the ball at that point. That middle bunt kick is one where the kicker actually is kicking to himself and everybody else blocks for the kicker. So he's the guy that's trying to recover the ball. We had an opportunity to get in there and make the play. We just weren't able to do it, and the ball bounced around, and another guy recovered it.
And from there, we know where that went. Talk a little bit about the play on which the pass interference was called. I think we would all say it was a debatable call at best. Talk a little bit about the coverage, Leon McFadden, one-on-one with Josh Boyce on the outside, and just how that play kind of came to be.
Yeah, I mean, you saw it. It was one-on-one, and, it was tight coverage. Obviously, I disagree, still do after watching the tape with the call, but it was called. Again, we had opportunities – other opportunities to win the game. It never comes down to one play, and we're focused on the things we can control, and penalties and those type of things, and the judgment calls and those things we can't control, so we're not going to worry about that.
Rob Chudzinski, head coach of the Browns, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Coach, what's the fine line between the anger and anguish that you and a lot of us feel over calls that were made, such as those last two, at the end of the game, versus your job as a head coach to make sure your players, yourself, your coaches, don't use that as a crutch?
Yeah, you can't. Once you blame somebody else for something, then you take the control out of your own hands. And you take the control of your future out of your hands. And we're just not going to do it. We're just not going to operate that way. We're going to look at the things that we can control, and we're going to get better and fix those things, and we're going to move on. And all the emotion, whether it's anger or anguish, as you said, those type of emotions we're going to use to drive us going forward. Again, I think there's a lot of positives that we pull from this game. And, I told our team afterwards, if they don't see that and those things, that anybody that doesn't is blind, because there are. And I'm encouraged about the direction we're going. I'm encouraged about a lot of the things that I see, and that's how we're going to operate.
One of the things to be encouraged about, I know, as a point of emphasis, was getting to the quarterback and protecting your own. 4 sacks on Tom Brady, 2 from Paul Kruger, 1 from Barkevious Mingo, 1 from Jabal Sheard, and then allowing only 1 sack to a New England team that came to the game top 10 in terms of sacks and getting to the quarterback. Talk a little bit about the pass rush and then obviously the protection for the Browns in this one.
Yeah, it's been something that's been a big point of emphasis. We wanted to get better on in winning our one-on-ones and our 4-man rushes where we're not blitzing and pressuring. Talked about it the last few weeks, and the guys really have taken it to heart. They're out there working extra in practice on their pass rush moves. That's another thing that, as I mentioned before, I look out there after practice and I see all kinds of guys staying after working on things and working on their trade, and I see those guys doing that, and you see it showing up, and you see it showing up in different places. And the pass rush was one of them, and I thought our protection was much improved as well from the previous couple weeks, and it's something that was a big point of emphasis for that game, and I thought we did a much better job.
And stats certainly show that Josh Gordon has had an historic run the last 4 games, last 2 games, last 3 games. Anyway, you break it down, he has the NFL record for being the most prolific receiver in that span. But it seems, I kind of get a sense from talking to people around here, that what he's done outside of Sundays when the games are actually being played is just as impressive. Talk a little about his evolution both on the field, on the practice field, and off the field.
Yeah, the key is what he's doing not on Sundays is helping him on Sundays to do the things he's been able to do. And that's the bottom line. As I've mentioned many times, Josh has come a long way and grown a lot, matured a lot. He's understanding, and it's an awakening, so to speak, in terms of, him understanding and playing this game. He hasn't played a lot of football prior. He's really learning the game still, and his best days are ahead of him. And I mentioned his best days are ahead of him, just like this team's best days are ahead of us. And just seeing him grow and our team grow, I'm encouraged about the future.
And to follow up on that, I had a chance to talk with Joe Hayden a little earlier today and regarding Josh Gordon, and he said that he is made an effort to kind of pull him in more to the team family. They were going to get together this afternoon at Joe's house, and the whole idea is that he said Josh has kind of been more of a loner guy. That's what he was last year, and I guess for the bigger part of this year, in the sense, though, that he would stay with his family and his brother or brothers. But now Joe was bringing up the idea that not only did he want to bring Josh into his home, but also Josh's brother into his home, who was here with him in Cleveland, and embrace that and let this guy know, you know, you've got a family within the team. And he also found, you know, found him to be a very interesting guy, you know, very up on fashion and very up on a lot of different things that you just don't get to know about a guy when you don't get to know the guy.
Yeah, Josh is a very intelligent person. You know, I think you mentioned and you talk about whether it's family or being together. I mean, those things I see, those things are things that we're trying to continue to develop here and really emphasize. And, you know, you see it in those type of things. And it starts, you know, with how guys feel about each other off the field, and it translates on the field with how they fight for each other. And, you know, again, I keep mentioning signs and positive things that are going on, and that's one of them.
Without a doubt.
Jordan Cameron had been struggling statistically speaking for the last couple of weeks. He really went off in this game, caught all 9 of his targets, over 120 yards and a touchdown. What was it about this matchup or the chemistry between Campbell and Jordan Cameron that you think allowed him to have so much success this week?
Well, I think that's the natural cycle of how things go.
Yep.
You know, guys have big games, sometimes don't have the big games in stretches or the next couple games, and then they have big games again. And when you're a good football team, you can find ways to win, and different guys are involved. And that's what we're working through. And you know, Jordan's, he's a consistent and been consistent as a football player. Sometimes people are you know, recognize that, and they're geared into trying to slow him down or stop him. But then Josh has a big game, or somebody else is able to step up. And that's what we want. That's the kind of balance we're looking for. We talk about run-to-pass balance, but we want balance within the passing game as well, where different guys can make the plays and help us win.
Coach, last one, so you can get to your lunch. You got to get this team ready for another game, and it's coming up on you, Chicago, here. How do you sort of frame this week when you get your whole team together again on Wednesday with regard to the psychological aspect? Because this is not going to be – what happened yesterday is not going to be an easy thing to let go of, and – at some point, somebody has the thought that, God, what do we need to do to win a ball game? I know at least one of your players has kind of said that, at least privately, because I'm saying it. Everybody's saying it. So, you know, as you set the tone on Wednesday, what's the plan?
Well, obviously continue to compete, continue to fight, and then work on the things that are the process of what we're trying to go through and getting themselves better and getting each one of us ourselves better and improving. And that's what we've been doing all along, you know, every week, you know, a number of weeks in a row. We've been saying let's focus on those things and get better at those things, and we're learning, understanding better what we need to do to win. And those wins will come. I'm excited. I know they'll be excited about playing. They have been, and this is our last home game, so our last opportunity to go out in front of our fans and play. We appreciate and love our fans, and you know, we're going to be excited and ready to play this week.
All right, Coach, thank
you
so
much.
Thanks, guys.
Rob Jedzicki, head coach of the Browns, joining us in his regular spot here on Monday on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We have got much more coming up. We'll get our roundtable together. Doug Deacon from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network, Tom Withers from the Associated Press. That's up next, and much more on ESPN 850 WKNR.